Welcome to Calvary United Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord today, especially on Palm Sunday. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! All right. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We are so pleased to have you here today and to worship our God in this space. We want you to feel at home among us, and those of you who are visiting with us, we ask you to fill out a black and white card that's in the pews that says, "Welcome Guests," because we'd like to know who you are. We'd like to know a little bit about you, and we're glad to have you among us and hope you feel a part of us. I want to invite you, those of you who have not joined the church, who might consider joining the church, to come speak to me, because we're going to take members on Easter Sunday. Next week, we'll take new members to the church. So if you would like to join, please make sure you speak with me following the service or call me in the church office this week. Let's greet one another with the peace of Christ this morning.
I am on. Thank you. Thank you. Potluck dinner today after church. Complete with choir cheering section. If you've noticed the jug in the back, the thermometer is creeping up. The amount to date is $662.05. If you would like to have an Easter Lily in Sanctuary next week, please call the church office and order, put in an order for that. They will be in here to decorate the sanctuary, but they'll also be in here in memory of or in appreciation of someone that you can put on the list. So please call the church office if you'd like to donate $10 toward an Easter Lily for the sanctuary next Sunday. Who is sitting in the same place this morning as they sat last week? Do you notice anybody missing beside you that was there last week?
No.
Okay, it's simply a reminder that we would like for you to let us know if you are missing someone that has been sitting around you. You sit in the same place, that means the person around you probably sit right there too. So please take time to notice and let us know so that we can contact them in case they're out sick or need assistance of some way. Please let us know by filling it out. Fill out the back side of the visitor's card and make a comment, and please give us your name so that if we need to call you back for any reason. Does any other announcements need to be made this morning? Yes, Betty. Amen. Yes,
I would like to thank all of you from the bottom of my heart and from my ears. Yes.
I'm getting there. Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Better. Okay, I would just like to thank all of you from the bottom of my heart and from the Boy Scouts who all supported the spaghetti dinner and also any donations that we received towards the boys going to summer camp. All together, we have made close to $900.
Amen.
So it's just with much thanks that I appreciate everything the boys I know appreciate, and I've gotten so many remarks about how kind and polite they were, and it just makes me so proud of them, and I really do appreciate everything that you all have done for us.
Any other announcements? Okay, if you'll join me then in the opening words. Let all creation shout.
Let us wait on the branch. It's high. Jesus is coming.
He comes in humility to claim God's own.
May he claim us this day and heal our hearts.
Hosanna, the Son of David.
Hosanna to the blessed Son of God. Amen.
Let us pray. Hosanna, blessed is Jesus who comes in God's name. We stand at the gate of our Jerusalem and wave our branches high. We get caught up in the sight of the parade. Jesus sits astride a donkey, a beast of burden bearing the most precious gift. Let the joy fill your hearts this day as we shout Hosanna. Praise God for the wondrous ways in which our lives have been touched. Prepare our hearts to worship and celebrate this day. Amen.
That was a beautiful duo. Wow, that was wonderful. Thank you so much. If you will turn with me in your inserts to the prayer of confession, I want you to notice that there are two places in this prayer, which is a responsive reading, for silence. One comes through the middle of the prayer. There's a time for silent confession. And then at the end of the prayer, you'll see a time of silence, and that's when I will offer up to you, or you are offered up the opportunity to lift up whatever you would like to say to God today in prayer. Your concerns, your needs, your praises, your prayers for other people. At the end, we will take those prayers spoken or unspoken at that time. We're saying a prayer of confession today. I thought today is a good day to say a word of confession because at the start of Holy Week, as I told the children, of course, everything was going great. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, he was being honored. He was being welcomed. He was being praised as the Son of David, the new King of the Jews. And things changed during that week, during Holy Week. And there are probably people in here who don't come to the Maundy Thursday service, which is at 7 o'clock, or the Good Friday service, which is at 7 o'clock, and skip that whole thing and go from Palm Sunday to Easter Day. But we need to reflect in our lives and on this particular day of the change that takes place during this week, the change that happens in people's lives when all of a sudden things weren't the same any longer and his friends deserted him and he was arrested and put on trial and then crucified. And so this acknowledges our sin and our confession to Almighty God today. On Palm Sunday, Jesus entered the holy city, Jerusalem. The crowds cheered and cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Jesus rode upon a donkey, and the crowds spread their garments before him, cheering, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But by the end of the week, the crowds were gone, and only a few followers remained. Confess now the ways in which you abandon and leave Jesus. The night he was arrested, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives as was his custom. May we pray with Jesus. As we remember the night he was arrested, may our faith prove true and sure. Jesus prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done." May we too pray not for comfort and ease, not for the easy road, not for a life without trial or worry, but like Jesus, may we pray that we will do the will of the Lord, no matter the circumstance, not counting the costs.
Marlene Stone.
Peter 2015.
Hear our prayers today, O God, and help us to live as you taught us to pray when we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you stand and look at the screen behind me, did you get that?
If you'd stand and look to the screen behind me, I'm used to saying everything twice. I'm pretty convinced that my wife is who put y'all up to sending me away.
And your son.
And Sonia. Open the eyes of my heart. One, two, four.
Our scripture this morning is found in Mark 11, 1 through 11, and then continuing in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethsage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a coat tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. And continuing in Philippians. "But the same idea in you that was in Jesus Christ, who, through though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above all names, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of our God the Father." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I love the story I'm about to tell you because it's about a dog. Sir Isaac Newton, who was the great scientist and mathematician, had a dog that he loved very much. And wherever Newton went, the dog went with him. They were inseparable. Well, the story is that one time he had worked for months and months on a theory about the nature of the universe, working every night, late into the night, by candlelight, his work table covered with his papers, which were covered with formulas and theories and conclusions. Well, late one night, Newton got up from the table to leave the room, and the dog jumped up and bumped the table, turning over the candle, which set Newton's papers all on fire. He returned to the room to find years of hard work gone up in flames. Well, he put the fire out and then sat on the floor and wept. And the dog nuzzled up to him and licked his face. And Newton hugged his dog and said, "You will never, ever know what you have done." The story is that when Eve took the fruit from the tree and Adam took the fruit from Eve, things fell apart in the garden. And God looked at Adam and Eve with great sadness and said, "You will never know what you have done." What began in Adam and Eve continues in us. Each of us plays out our own personal little Garden of Eden in which we discover our capacity for doing things that tear God's creation apart. Back when I was young and knew everything and had not either the time or inventiveness to really mess up things in life, I didn't worry too much about the sinfulness of humanity in general, and my own sinfulness in particular. But I'm older now, And I don't even like to think about the ways that I have been less than I meant or hoped to be. I have not just failed to do good. I have on occasion done bad. And I knew I was doing bad when I did it. And I did it anyway. And I don't know why. And I have no excuse other than the fact that I am human, and that is what humans do sometimes. I don't blame anyone or anything, not my mama, not my daddy, not the environment, not the government, or anything. It was just me and my life, an occasional fit farts. And I am sorry. I have a deep, deep need for a voice outside of myself who will neither condone my misdeeds nor condemn me for them. And we meet that voice, that God, in the one who did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but rather emptied himself and came to be one of us, to live with us, to die with us, and for us on the cross. Now, there was a woman named Miss Mildred that was in one of my congregations, and I think every congregation has at least one Miss Mildred. And she never, ever threw anything away. When her family and friends, some people resemble that remark, when her family and friends complained to her about this, she would say, "You never know when you might need it." And their protests that you had to be able to find it in order to use it when you needed it fell on deaf ears. She was confident that she knew where all of her its were. And I think she did. They would ask her about a bill or a letter or a magazine, and she would say something like, "It's in the back bedroom, in the left-hand corner of the closet, third shoebox from the bottom, in a plastic bag," and she'd be right. She knew right where it was. I think God is a little bit like Miss Mildred. God shares her passion for saving everything, and her awareness of everything she has saved. God doesn't do the expected and normal thing, the things that we do, condemn these useless and unholy trash to Gehenna, the fiery garbage heap outside the walls of Jerusalem. That's what most of us would do with what we consider useless junk. Instead, where others see worthlessness, God sees something worth saving, something worth hanging on to, and something worth taking a risk for, something worth making a great effort for, something worth dying for. And God knows where all that saved stuff is. God cares about that which God has saved. And it is God's will that it all be saved, because God made it all and God loves it all, no matter what it has done. The gospel is that it is because of our great need and God's great sorrow and anguish over our great need that Christ came into the world, emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. So the great question is not whether or not God loves us and cares for us. That question has been answered once and for all by Christ upon the cross. The question is, are we being obedient to our call to take up our cross and follow him? Now, some of you probably know that the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville was the home of the Grand Old Opry. It was originally, what you may not know, is that it was originally a church built as a preaching place for this famous evangelist named Sam Jones. And the story is that Jones was holding what the holiness folks called a quitting meeting, during which people confessed their sins and swore off drinking and smoking and cussing and running around with people they weren't married to and such like misbehavior. Well, this particular night, the meeting had reached an emotional high point when Jones called on one ultra-righteous woman in the congregation and asked her what she was going to quit. She said, "I ain't been doing nothing, and I'm going to quit that too." Now, I'm a Protestant, and we Protestants learned a long time ago that there's nothing we can do to make God love us. There's nothing we have to do to earn our salvation. The problem is, some of us learned that lesson too well, and we do nothing in response to God's love for us. So God calls upon us today to quit doing nothing in response to the gospel. We are called to give ourselves for others as Jesus gave himself for us. We are called to care about the hurts and the pains of others as Jesus cared about our hurts and pains. We are called to live lives of obedience to Jesus' call to take up a cross and follow him. Follow him into the world with hope in your hearts, with acts of love in our hands, and with words of grace and promise on our lips. Amen and amen.
If you'd stand and turn in your hymnals to page 177. We'll sing "He Is Lord."
On Monday, Thursday at 7 o'clock and Good Friday at 7 o'clock. Monday, Thursday, we're going to see a wonderful play performed by two of our youth called Two Faces in the Shadows about Peter and Judas. And I know you'll want to see that. We'll take communion as well. And on Good Friday, we'll hear the seven last words of Christ by our lay servants in the congregation. Seven speakers on the seven short speakers, 5 minutes each, on the seven last words of Christ. And on Easter Sunday, we have, of course, the sunrise service at 7 o'clock in the morning on Easter Day. And then two chances to see the Easter Cantata at 8:15 and 11 o'clock. And we'll have a worship service and celebrate, of course, Jesus rising from the dead and the gift of our salvation. I pray now to all of you that you go in the love, mercy, and peace of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May He rest and abide with each of you, now and always. Go in peace. Amen. Peace on our lives today. In the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners and save us.
Yes.
And we teach and reach and preach to the world outside that they may know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Mm-hmm. And we ask you, and it's first of all,
Amen.